Very 80s.
Wait till you hear what this song is.
Like a sun, I rise and shine.
See if you name
with
the color.
Last night on my mind. It's so hard to concentrate till our love we recreate. Come on, let me tickle your fancy. Let me excite your soul. Let me tickle your fancy. Let me excite your soul.
This is like something Police Academy voice.
Hey, what's happening? This is Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Haywood, Turnip Seed, Sock Puppet number one.
And it's also sitting in, we have Mr. Let him know who you are, baby.
Larry XL.
He brought us this, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, it's a Jermaine Jackson cover.
I thought that was. I thought that was Jermaine.
But it's like the guitarist from the Scissor Sisters.
Yeah. Who's going to sing it?
Did an album with the New Power Generation.
Wow.
Back in
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is very 80s, very synth sounded, but it came out like 2 years ago. I was like,
who's singing? Brown Mark?
Might be, yeah.
What's this dude's name? Jesse?
Yeah.
Justin from Moore's name.
Lamar from the Revenge of the Nerds.
Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Lamar Latrell.
Yep.
No on 81. No yeah. on 81.
Latrell, Lamar. Lamar Latrell.
Yeah.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
I just think it's
this is it, like it, the song that they was dancing to when they had the Lambda moves.
Yeah.
And they were partying and shit. They was getting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought. Yeah.
No, but the funny thing is, if you go back and listen to the original, it's like, okay, where'd they get, how'd they get from there to here? Because Jermaine Jackson, I mean, come on.
He was the
back in the day, you know, he was just coasting on a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like him,
he had a couple of
him and Reeby and LaToya, you know, it was just.
He had the one hit, the slow joint. Why don't you do what you do when you did what you did to me?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Why don't you?
With Iman in the video.
And then Tootie went to visit him on Facts of Life one time.
Yes, remember
she
that.
Yes, she did.
Thought she was bringing a bomb and stuff. Yeah.
They put the shit in water.
Yeah.
Tootie was
trying to blow it up. Yeah.
He also had, what's the other one? He had Dynamite.
Yep, it's Dynamite.
That's the one I remember.
It's Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite and the slow song. I think that was on the same album.
He stayed on Motown.
He stayed on Motown because he was married to Hazel.
Yes. All
right, I'm going to pull up the original.
Father of Your Majesty.
Yeah.
Yes. Jermaine, Your Majesty.
I'm going to pull up the original.
I'm just surprised the Jacksons still have the balls to still tour as the Jacksons now.
They make money,
like,
man.
Like, really? What?
Here we
Michael
go.
Sang
but
all the hooks.
But will not play with the motherfucker.
No, he won't.
He won't?
No.
What the hell else
no,
is he going to do?
He will not play with them.
The last
he
time I heard, he
them.
Did.
This is the original.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, Big Brother Europe, the Great Britain version of Big Brother.
You're UK off, Mike.
The UK version of Big Brother.
Yeah.
I think Jermaine won that.
Really?
Won
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Like the sun, I rise and shine. Hey.
Sounds like Aretha Franklin singing Pink Kettle.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
That was Natalie Cole.
Yeah.
It was Natalie Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Natalie Cole's Pink Cadillac. Originally written by Bruce Springsteen.
By Bruce Springsteen, because he sings it. Oozing down the street.
That was back when if you wanted to be on like R&B, you had to be all like Jericho'd out and shiny.
Yes.
Wearing sequins.
This is very 80s.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's get serious.
I like the 80s sound, man. There's something missing now. Like the synth sound in the 80s, because now they just sound all the R&B that isn't neo soul sounds all clubby
and
techno-y.
Have you heard the album Tuxedo?
No,
that's,
but Mary Hawthorne, that joint.
Get that. That's
oh, man.
Good.
It
sounds a lot.
I like the new the Mary J. Blige album.
Oh, the London Sessions?
Yeah, the one she went over
that
to London
shit
for.
That fucking awesome, man.
I need to pick up the new D'Angelo album.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's
I heard from what I heard, I was like, oh, he's back.
You heard the Disclosure got a new one coming out, and they got, what's his name? Gregory Porter singing a song on that joint. You know, the jazz singer?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Big voice guy. Man, this song is fucking crazy.
Hope your Thursday is going good for people because y'all about to hear some bad music. We got some emails, though.
We got a couple emails.
Bad music.
Yeah. Why would we listen to bad? Life is too short
to listen to bad.
It's an ongoing thing
okay. that we do.
It's a running feature on the show.
It's a running feature.
We call it This
Week
in Bad.
I was listening to the Foxhole. They got so much bad hip hop on the Foxhole. Oh my God. I was listening to what was it? Cheddar the Connection. I was like, are they letting people with Down syndrome rap now? Just what the.
Hell, that's like a thing.
Yeah, it's like that
bad,
southern
bad rap,
like that third generation crunk. With,
watch out,
that
little bitch.
What you talking now? Yeah,
guys drinking codeine and going in the studio and just rapping. And they, like, yeah, we got it. Good. All right, press that.
It started with the Hot Boys when they let the Hot Boys
bring the email in.
Our first email is from Ayana. Very short one. Hey guys, great show. We were talking about Tim recording his album. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about title suggestions. She says, my suggestion is Tim Miller .. trying to raise a daughter, which could be good. I don't know how much material he has on his daughter, though. So it could be like the title doesn't match the album.
But, I like Tim Miller ..
Just Tim Miller .. Yeah. Tim Miller trying to raise a daughter. I don't know what he's going to call. He has a couple titles in mind.
We were talking about it the other night.
And then we got an email from Eris. Hi, 3GO Plus. First of all, thanks for pronouncing my name correctly, Andy. I hope I just said it right this time. I don't remember how I said it last time. It's very simple, but the way people find to screw it up are numerous. Sorry I wasn't more specific about a possible West Coast show. I'm in Northern California, Sacramento to be exact. Go Kings. So if any of you ever do anything from the Bay to Reno or even Vegas, I'm there. Well, all right.
Oh, shit.
All right.
And please insert Hella into your West Coast riff. Because we were doing a lot of Mork-ass.
A lot of Mork-ass, hella Mork-ass busters.
That's a hella good email. That's a hella good email.
Hella busters.
Like Riblet from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you hella Mork-ass.
Remember that song, hella
Mork-ass busters?
How long before Riblet gets his own movie?
Hella tricks?
Got no hort.
You ain't got no hort?
I got
no
hella hort. I got a hella whore.
Yeah, the hella hort.
That's we don't say Jerry Hella.
CQ.
Get your sorry ass in the core.
Buster ass.
Everybody sounds Buster. Like E-40.
Is Straight Outta Compton going to fourth week at number one for Straight Outta Compton?
Right.
Is it?
Is it going to be?
I might see it tomorrow.
You know, it's like the,
depends on what drops.
As far as biopic goes, musical biopics, it is the number one musical biopic beating out Ray.
Really?
Ray, Amadeus, all kind of shit.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
I gotta see it still. Maybe Labor Day.
You would dig it. You would dig it.
Maybe a Monday.
Bring it back to the Jacksons.
I hated the Jacksons
biopic. The one that was on VH1 all the time.
Yeah,
I was like, how did you get Angela Bassett into this bullshit? Oh my God, it's so horrible.
Don't hurt him, Joseph.
Acting is bad.
Joseph, don't hurt him.
Yeah.
Joseph.
They're being hella bad, though.
Hella bad? Hella Morks?
Mork ass Michael?
What else we got?
Eris says, I'm from Oakland, and hella needs to be some Bay Area flavor, the word hella. Not sure how it will fit in with Mork-ass Busta, but I think it's Buster. I think it's
Buster?
The hard R.
Mork-ass
Buster.
Say Bay Area
Buster?
Flavor, does that mean like $2,000 a month for a studio apartment?
Probably.
Yeah.
P.S. To answer about who's when I say y'all remind me of my dad and brothers is definitely Andy. They both make me think of a therapist for some reason. People have told me I'm like a therapist because I'll break down their problems and solve them. That's what a therapist doesn't do. I should charge money for that. Hopefully this email wasn't so long, and I hate iTunes, but I finally logged in and gave 3GO a 5-star review. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you. Do more of that. Follow her lead, people.
Yeah. Hey.
I think it's a he.
He, excuse me.
I think it's a he. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Follow this person's lead.
Yeah. Follow this
person. Thank you, human.
Thanks for saying my name right, but calling me out of my gender.
Thank you. Thank you, individual.
I don't want to assign any pronouns or anything. That's hella disrespectful.
We keep it genderless.
Well, just everybody,
like Mork.
Everybody's
Mork
a Mork. Hey, pay attention to this Mork-ass buster.
I don't fuck with you.
We got an email from Damien. Hey, guys, and whatever sock puppet is on the mic today.
Heywood
and Larry. Anyway, a few thoughts. Centric, we were talking about the network. Centric.
Oh, BT Light.
Centric is actually a black woman's network. Yes, yeah. It markets itself as essentially being the black answer to Lifetime.
A comic we know is on there, Aaron. She's on the Black Girl View.
Yep. Yeah. Is that on Centric?
No, hers is on Oxygen.
Aspire. She is
Aspire. Aspire. Yeah. It's all about breath.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Like that's the one Magic Johnson does, Aspire.
Aspire, yeah. Yeah.
Aspire.
Yeah. I like TV One way better than BET.
Well, TV One's got the music.
Yeah, they got the music.
And they had those unsung.
Unsung. Oh, love me some unsung.
So good.
And then just nonstop Good Times and yes. Give Me a Break.
Yes.
And all the great 70s, 80s.
They need to have
sitcoms.
That's My Mama on there. They got it on Bounce.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I bet there was like a war for That's My Mama.
Someone, like one season.
Someone got
like...
fired over that shit. Yeah. Like, you couldn't get That's My Mama on BET. Man. We lost the Bounce. You're fired, man. Get out of here, you mark-ass buster.
They were in Texas and That's My Mama, too.
Yeah. I don't think you can get sitcoms like made today where just a white family just takes in some black kids anymore.
Oh, no.
No, you can't do that.
It had to be a dramedy.
No. First of all, I don't want to see
it.
And sitcoms don't do very special episodes anymore.
They don't do that. There are no very special episodes.
Yeah, no very special, like, keep your kids away from the child molester.
The drugs.
Yeah, it's all SVU now.
Remember Tom Hanks, what is he? Was he the drunk driver or he got killed by a drunk driver? Which one was it?
Which one?
He was on Family Ties and he died?
He was the brother.
He was the brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a drug addict.
No, he went to jail.
He went to jail?
He
went to jail. Yeah, because he was...
Michael, what's that on your arm?
His boss was embezzling or some shit like that, and he found his boss out.
Yeah. Then there was an episode of Punky Brewster where the kid got hit in the refrigerator, and Punky Brewster had to give her a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because he learned it in school.
Very
and how can we forget when Janet Jackson got burned with the eye?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a day in the life. That wasn't even a special episode. That was just, this is the kind of shit that happened.
They
killed just looking
at the
after they killed James, we're not announcing any special. The only thing they had was like, go get your parents where they did the VD episode.
When you're watching the asphalt grow.
Which surprised me. I was like, man.
Jay Leno's in that episode.
Yeah.
The VD episode.
Nancy Reagan was on Different Strokes.
Man, I'm surprised. JJ was pulling some dime pieces back in the day.
Oh my God. Was he?
Why?
The thing about the very special episode, though, was it was always at the end. There would be no laugh track in it would be like Mom, they're track marks, okay?
Yep.
I'm on heroin. And then
fade to black.
Stunned look on the mom's face, fade to black fade to be black. Continued. And then the next week, like everything's fine. Like they're just doing their normal hijinks.
Ron Howard used speed once.
Michael J. Fox used speed on Family Ties.
Ron Howard picked up a habit.
Remember, Fonzie had to help him out. Fonzie had to help kick
him.
Did Fonzie just like punch a wall?
Fonzie did the cool thing. Somehow he got the cool, like they danced it out of him or some shit.
Yeah.
He just all night.
Back kicked him with his leg and the speed fell out of his ass.
But then he went to go talk to the drug dealer. I remember that.
Yeah.
He went because Fonzie was the dude who goes deal with the dealers.
Yeah.
So he was like, you come around here no more with that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the email. Damien says, I got to finish this. Damien says about the network centric, they never really knew what to do with the station besides air reruns of Martin and Family Matters, Mork-ass Morton, and the show's 90s and show 90s videos. So I guess that's what they turned into. The Duggars creep me right the fuck out.
I also
pity them with Jim Bob and the Nike policy. You guys weren't here last week, but
someone said
that the Duggars have a policy where if anyone is being caught like looking at a girl, like having sexual thoughts, the code word that Jim Bob yells out is Nike, which makes them all look down at
just
their
do
shoes.
It.
I think it's just like, don't do it.
Just don't do it.
All right, you're gonna find some of their kids like in a closet doing something really nasty with some shoes.
Yeah.
Nike.
Yeah.
They're gonna have a foot fetish when they get older.
The question is, what does Jim Bob do? Because you know he's a fucking freak.
When he's feeling on his.
I don't know, but that just reminds me of the whole like Hulk Hogan thing. I'm like, how racist do you have to be when you're in the middle of making a sex tape and your daughter. You just get mad about who your daughter's having sex with.
Yeah. Right.
You're getting some, and all of a sudden it's like,
this
really?
Is great, but you know what pisses me off, bro?
This pussy's good, but listen.
What the hell?
Total pause was.
Can you focus on getting laid?
Damien says after the, about the Duggars, he says, could you imagine if a woman like Allura Jensen or Jaylene Rio walked in front of them? Google them to see what I mean. I don't know who those people are. Are they?
Allura, what's her name?
Allura Jensen.
Allura? That's a porn star. That's a porn star.
It's Allura Jensen. Jensson. Jensen. That sounds like a porn star. And then Jaylene Rio sounds even more like a porn star.
Allura Jensen.
Oh, Jaylene. Come on. That's a.
Yeah. And in Rio, just a city. That's usually a porn thing.
Images.
Allura. Okay. AL.
Blonde, big titties.
You got two people Googling.
Oh, yeah.
Is it porn?
Oh, yeah. See what you want.
She a bodybuilder, too?
She's not as anorexic as most.
No, she's what you want. Yeah, she got tiger stripes.
She's early.
Oh, this old. She got some white tiger stripes.
That's just Anna Nicole's ghost in flesh form right there.
There you go.
Oh, she kind of thick on the bone.
Oh, that's the Lord. Okay. She kind of thick. That's very porny. All right. Porn star.
Very porny.
Very porny.
What's up, Laura?
Laura.
Yeah,
this is Jaylene Rio.
Oh, yeah. She works with Vivid.
This is Jaylene Rio right here.
Okay.
Jaylene. Okay.
A brunette version.
They like the corn fed porn stars.
I like her. I like this one right here. Are those real titties?
No. Look at the top right picture. Those are definitely fake.
What's your last name? Jaylene?
Rio.
Yeah.
Rio.
Yeah, that top left one.
Yeah.
She looks like a kid.
Nike.
Yeah, that one.
All I can think is just
she looks like a Persian.
Yeah, she does.
You know what? I think those are real titties. She got stretch marks in them titties.
They still could be fake.
You can say. You can still
stretch the skin out. I mean, there's a lot of stretching going on.
No, they look like they respect gravity a little bit. Like, if you took the bra off, they would definitely have a respectable amount of
Like, she's a little bit of a mess, dude, which I kind of like. In porn.
Oh, she's a little nasty.
She's a little messy. She looks nasty.
Yeah.
She's a little bit of a mess.
And then we have another email from Rod, who just emailed us a little earlier today. We're recording on Saturday. He says, "Dearest Andy and them N-words." Not going to say it. I got a bad song review for y'all. I mean, it's not bad to me, but it's ratchet. When my wife's car was in the shop, I rolled up to her job and picked her up with this song playing on the stereo. True story. All right. Ratchet can be bad.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The song
Ratchet
is
can be good though too.
The song is
unless
is,
you're talking about a woman, then it's always bad. It's always bad.
The song is by Glasses Malone.
Oh Jesus!
I know that name. I know that name.
The song is called "That Good," featuring Ty Dolla $ign and C. Ballin. Now Elton is a fan of Ty Dolla $ign, so Elton is the one who started this whole ratchet thing with 2 Chainz.
I know Glasses Malone.
That Rod is now claiming it's a good song.
Pushing division, baby. $ign.
Okay, that's a Warren G sample.
I got that good dick, girl. I already know that I'm shit, girl. And if I fuck with you, need you shit too. Girl, stop playing with that shit, dude. $ign pushing the label, baby. The whole team been getting paper, baby. Presidential rollies in them red bottoms. Anything to some
That's auto-tune on the rap.
I feel like what I've heard from Ty Dolla $ign in the past has not been like this. But maybe this is like switching genres for him. This is like I'll go do my ratchet, you know, in love with my dick song or something. So this is I don't even know who Glasses Malone is. Trend hopping.
This is dollar store T-Pain.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is now trying to get away from it.
Yeah, he's up
there.
He feels very bad about that. It's like he's been labeled.
I think he did a Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to let people know that he can actually sing.
He sang the National Anthem recently.
Yeah. Interesting.
the thing is about if you got good dick, you don't have to advertise.
Are you guys listening to the hook?
Word of mouth will
get around.
It's ratchet. I don't know if I wouldn't call it bad. We've had worse. Girl, I give you
that good dick. Yes, I will.
I'm not a fan of the auto tune. That's the only thing that kind of throws me about it.
Actually, I'm gonna put this on my. I'm building my website.
So basically, now anybody with auto tune and a 1982 Lincoln Continental with spinner rims on
auto tune. Just buy that microphone. Go to Target. Buy that microphone.
But you gotta look at it. Like, who would have thought I'm gonna give you that good dick? Right, like
yeah.
That's the talent right there.
Give you that good.
These are the obsessions of 20-year-old men.
It's catchy.
I mean, this is people who are older. Yeah. You don't remember that when you were younger, you were like, "I hope I have good dick."
No, I'm gonna give you dick. It ain't gotta be good.
You hope that it's good because how would you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
True. I'm gonna do it like you should. Say that pussy death row, call me sure. I'm gonna go to a girl and be like, "Hey, girl, my wife is complaining."
Did he just say, "Call me pussy death row"?
Yeah, because
that was the lyric, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna kill it.
Okay.
I'm gonna kill it.
He's gonna kill it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The problem is, we're,
what'd you say for three whole out?
it's been more than 20 years since gangster rap, and all like. How many different ways can you talk about just throwing dick in a rap song these days?
Apparently,
always
going to
be.
Can we move on to something else?
Always going to be 20-year-olds.
Yeah, I know. But
that's the problem.
Where is the next generation Tribe Called Quest? Where is the next generation?
I mean, there's a couple of them.
It's going to be a while.
Lupe Fiasco, who went crazy, but he was there. Kendrick.
Yeah.
You know.
There's only one.
And the rest. Because I can't think of no more names.
No, but we're always getting these, like, you know, these second and third generation Lil Wayne's, these second and third generation, you know.
Right, right. We don't get a second and third generation Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Well, they're not.
Tribe, like I said, Wu-Tang.
They are probably out there, and they're getting 2,000 hits and not 10 million.
Yeah, they're getting nothing.
So
how many hits has this guy got?
And you know what? There was probably
1.4 million.
But look at it this way. In 1991, there weren't a lot of next generation Luther Campbells either. And there were people who probably could have been huge had the climate been different in music back then, but they weren't. So it's like now it's just flipped the other way. Rap is kind of in its hair metal phase.
And that's what it is.
It's becoming all sort of sounding the same as all. But that's just what's promoted. I mean, if you look at underground rock music in the 80s, there was other shit, but all you ever heard was, you know, Cinderella and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what was the problem with MTV.
She's my cherry pie.
The visualization.
All those hair metal guys now live in Nashville because that's the only place they can make money. They're session musicians.
Power balance.
Right, they do summer nostalgia tours and, you know.
Like the guys in Rat.
Judas Priest got a new album out.
And the guys from Jackal with a Y.
Jackal with a Y. Judas Priest got a new
Striper.
Album out.
It's pretty good. Christian rock band. Striper.
Oh, yeah.
Striper
with a Y.
Yeah.
They were Christian rock, weren't they?
They were. Christian glam metal band.
Who the kids with that long hair? Nelson, remember them?
Oh, yeah. That was the beginning Nelson's of the end. Nelson killed hair metal, kind of like Crazy Town killed rap metal. It was like, okay, time
Crazy
to go.
Town.
Remember Crazy Town came on, I was like, uh-oh, scene's about to die.
Because Nelson, they look like the dudes in The Matrix.
This is actually not bad. It's just ratchet, but it's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad.
It's
not a good beat.
It is pulling up to your wife's job with, I'm going to give you that good dick.
Yeah, well,
blasting.
I mean, you got to let her know.
It's kind of like Tyrese and Baby Boy. You got to let all the bitches your wife works with know what she got at home, you know?
I can't lie, Rod. The only thing that would make that more black is if you had rim spinning. If you had rim spinning when you put up the
No, hubcap spinning, not rim.
And then you're just doing this shit when you roll up like, what? I'm about to tear that up, girl.
This is a Nelson video. I'm going to get to the past a little skit at the beginning. After the Rain was their song, right?
No.
This is their ballad?
I mean, they were always on.
No, they were all ballads. Their album was, their first album, all like power ballads. Yeah.
Yeah, this is very power ballad.
No, because this is like when, because I'm a big fan of like 80s rock music. And the funny thing was, is like if you look at the progression, like when rock music kind of hit big, it was all like anti-authoritarian, you know, scare your parents music. And then once Bon Jovi hit, everyone's like, okay, we're just hitting the ground selling out. Like everybody's got to be like, you know, looking like Fabio and just, you know, ridiculous.
All right, I'm going to rewind back to the camera focuses in. This is there's two twins, Ricky Nelson's kids. One of them was named Gunner. I remember that. His name was
Gunner and Matthew Nelson.
The other one was his name, Striker.
Striker.
Gunner and Striker Nelson.
It was the cast of Iron Eagle was it was Nelson. It was all of Maverick's cohorts there, and that this is he's got like the cross around his. He's a very sanitized rock star, basically.
Yeah, these are like. This is like the rock bands your mom will let you go out to see.
Yeah.
Mall metal.
Air
mall
Supply.
Metal, that's what it is, mall metal.
Yeah.
Here they come.
God.
Explosions.
Explosions, leather pants,
hair.
Smoke.
CO2 a crowd
everywhere.
Appears. Long.
This is basically like just in sync with guitars and
long leather
big hair.
Trench.
Yeah.
Double guitars and backlighting.
And listen.
By now you should know.
This is gritty rock and roll music right here.
It's like anti Guns N' Roses right here, rock music.
How did they get a deal?
Ricky Nelson.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I guess.
No, you don't understand. They were signing every pretty boy with a guitar back in the 80s. The record companies, this was back in the record companies, they were making money hand over fist.
This
they were
is all
signing
it could be.
Everybody.
And for those who don't know, Larry is a music critic.
Yeah.
So this is what he does. And this is fucking
like this came out
horrible.
Stadium
this
rock.
Came out this basically came out
stadium rock.
The year Nirvana came out.
Yeah.
Really?
All right, yeah. These guys came out the year Nirvana came out. And these guys were like all over radio for a year, and then when Nevermind blew up, these guys were out of business.
Out of business like
they was
mug.
Like, see ya. Goodbye.
So then they would have came out around the same time like Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and all them
guys. Yeah, but Soundgarden hadn't blown up yet.
Because Soundgarden
Nirvana
was
Nirvana opened the door, basically.
No, actually, Alice in Chains blew up before Nirvana
Alice
did.
Alice in Chains?
They didn't blow up on that level, though.
No, but they were – see, here's the problem was – all right, like if you look at the way the record industry was, like, okay, you had like radio friendly rock, and then you had like
this
the college, then you had the college rock, all right?
Yeah.
So
REM
kind of blew up and kind of like blew the doors open a little bit for alternative music. Jane's Addiction came along and really forced the door open because they were like a mix of everything, all right? Guns N' Roses kind of made it a little bit more street. So then around 90. Alice in Chains came out, and Alice in Chains was basically getting thrown in with all the thrash bands like Metallica and Megadeth and all that. But then when grunge came off, they were like, well, they're from Seattle too, so they became part of the grunge scene, you know. But if it wasn't Soundgarden and Jane's Addiction, and I would say REM kind of like laid the groundwork, and basically Nirvana took off because if you look at Nirvana, Nirvana was on the Geffen label. Who'd Geffen have on their roster at the time? Whitesnake, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses. Three of the biggest 80s cock rock bands of all time. So they basically had the influence to push Nirvana through the door and become like the poster boys for this new genre of music that was blowing up everywhere.
Yeah.
If Nirvana was on a different label, might have been Pearl Jam was a top dog at the time. It might not have been Nirvana, but basically Nirvana had everything that the label needed to push them through. They had the emaciated, like blue-eyed white boy, tragic figure, you know.
No,
I was reading this book. It was the oral history of grunge. And there was like, when grunge started taking off, MTV was swarming all over Seattle looking for the next band to promote.
Yeah, they were.
And guys like Nirvana and Pearl Jam was like, well, there's this band like Tad that was really influential, and bands like the Melvins, they're really influential. But the problem was, these guys were a little bit hefty.
They weren't marketable.
Unshaven. Yeah, you know, they weren't
they
like
were the real
matinee
grunge.
Idols
the
other bands were. Yeah. So MTV's like, nah, we're going to go with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. I remember STP.
Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah.
It's all nothing happens
organically. They turned them into a pop group.
It was early Alice in Chains. First album.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were much harder.
They were more metal than any of the other grunge bands.
They're metal.
Metal.
Well, here's the one that everybody knows, probably.
It's a medley term.
Yep.
That's even kind
and
of
this. This was 90. Man this was late 1990. This came out. So this came out year before
all the football
Nirvana. Nirvana came out with Nevermind. Nirvana came out with Bleach, but that was more of like an indie.
So when
thing.
Did Nirvana drop Nevermind? Was that 90?
That was late 91.
It
was
October.
Yeah, October 1991.
I didn't get hit
because
I guess I got hit to a 92. Yeah.
Because Michael Jackson was huge, like the Dangerous
that was
album.
Dangerous album.
Dangerous album came out, and parents bought their kids the Dangerous album, and the kids like that Christmas basically returned Dangerous and bought Nevermind.
I remember when that hit. I remember like all the kids, they started wearing those soccer shoes and goddamn.
At what point did you jump in, Andy?
Well, I because Pearl Jam is my favorite band of all time. By far.
You and Dennis Rodman.
And yeah.
I saw Pearl Jam the night they found Kurt Cobain's body in D.C.
I wanted to go to that show and I didn't go. I was working at a fucking restaurant that night and I didn't go.
I was at that concert.
A couple friends of mine were at that show. But Nirvana was, you know, people hadn't heard of Pearl Jam yet. Pearl Jam's album came out in August of 91.
It was amazing, too. Amazing.
Yep.
And they were just kind of, you know, whatever, just out there. Uh-huh. Nirvana blows up really almost immediately in the fall of 91.
Yeah.
The first single comes out.
As soon as Smells Like Teen Spirit hits, that thing lit like wildfire.
And then Pearl Jam starts getting more play. They have a couple, Alive starts getting some play on the radio. But they don't blow up until summer of 92.
Jeremy
hit that video?
Yeah.
And here's another thing. A reason Pearl Jam had a lot of like credibility because two of those guys were in Mother Love Bone.
Right.
If Andy Wood, the singer of Mother Love Bone, hadn't OD'd on heroin in 1990, they probably would have been the first big grunge band because they, everybody in Seattle knew them, and they were kind of that. They were like the Jane's Addiction of Seattle.
Oh.
And then they got a record deal, and about a month before the album came out, their singer ODs on heroin. So the right. record company had nothing to push. The bass player and the guitar player for that band went on to form Pearl Jam. And so they kind of had like the groundwork in the record industry.
Like Eddie Vedder was in another group at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he was in San Diego, and they were looking for a singer, and they auditioned.
That's your group, Andy, now is Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder was in a band called Bad Radio.
Pearl Jam became kind of your thing.
Yeah.
Which I fell off. Not really a big
fan. And what's that, that super group they had?
Where, Mad Season?
What's it called?
Mad Season?
Mad Season?
Is that members of Alice in Chains?
Temple of the Dog.
Temple of the Dog, that's it. That's yeah. it. It
yeah. Who was in Yo, Temple of the Dogs?
That's Soundgarden and Pearl Jam.
Man, that fucking, they had a song going, that
the
going
whole,
hungry.
All of them? Or
Hunger,
just
Hunger Strike?
Yeah, that shit was dope, yo.
Yeah, it was all a drummer. It was a drummer and a singer from Soundgarden, and then the bass player and the two guitarists from Pearl Jam, and then Pearl Jam singer guested on like two songs because he wasn't really a name yet.
Man, yeah, I guess so. He was like
the, it wasn't like yeah. the album came out before Pearl Jam's album came out. It wasn't until after Pearl Jam blew up that album really, like, people were like, Oh, these two groups collaborate on an album. Let's put this out too.
You see what you started, Rod, by sending this ratchet ass.
I fell off the Pearl Jam bandwagon after the Vitology.
He took us down.
A lot of people did. I will say though that you know, from Rod's thing about pulling up and having that song play. You know, 30 years ago, that would have been "She's My Cherry Pie."
Yep.
Or something.
Yeah,
yeah, this is the same yep. shit. Yep. This is Hunger Strike. Everyone knows this song, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
That joint used to rule. Right
it was. It was weird. I mean, you know.
So, she's my cherry pie.
Oh, and the video was dope. What was that Warren?
That's what I said that Jim Irsay was riding around listening to when he got busted with all the pills. You know what I was banging? She's my cherry. Woo! Huh? And
honestly, that's all such spell a music
trouble.
Nerd.
That's all spell trouble.
I have a mental chart that basically. The whole hair metal thing of the 80s has a parallel in the new metal, the rap metal of the 90s. You name me.
So you mean like with the Limp Bizkit?
If you name me an 80s hair metal band, I can name you their counterpart in the new metal movement and why.
All right.
Poison.
All right. Poison. Shit. Poison.
Got him already.
No.
It's all Limp Bizkit.
No. Limp Bizkit was kind of like the Warrant.
Korn.
Yeah. Korn was a Motley Crue. Of
Korn was pretty good. Korn was
basically the band that kind of crystallized what the archetype of the movement.
Does Poison have an equivalent?
Yeah,
System of a Down maybe.
No, not even close.
Nah. Yeah, shut up, Haywood.
No,
that was hella suspect.
Korn was Motley Crue. Kiss was the Red Hot Chili Peppers of.
You think so?
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine was Van Halen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Nelson was Crazy Town.
I don't like that. Yeah. I like that.
And then Limp Bizkit was either Poison or Warrant, because they were at the zeitgeist of it, but they weren't nearly as talented as their counterparts.
That's what it was. They weren't. I mean, because. Yeah.
Yeah, and the singer pretty much was basically. Yeah.
Well, he couldn't really sing. He was a rapper.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some great songs and a good album.
That was it. Those were.
But the one Wu-Tang, I love. Yeah, the one Method Man, I fucking love.
Were, LA Guns was Cold Chamber, and because they were like the goth like bent of the movement.
See, the thing is, most people listening don't know either one. I don't know LA Guns or Cold Chamber. I don't know.
I have no idea what
reference point or the reference.
Yeah. None of our fans.
I don't know the before and after.
Who?
Kiss and Red Hot Chili Peppers, because basically Kiss and Red Hot Chili Peppers are basically the singer and the bass player and a revolving door of drummers and guitar players. And they were kind of like the influence for the movement that went forward after that.
So who's Alice Cooper?
Shit.
Marilyn Manson.
And Bon Jovi's Kid Rock.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Kid Rock is a fucking redneck now. He's like,
so is Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi's a country artist now. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them do that now. Isn't
Darius
he a
Republican?
I'm going to get back to my roots.
Def Leppard was Linkin Park.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to my roots.
And I like both of them about the same. Yeah, that's true. Because Def Leppard was dope. And they came out of over here and it was like, oh, who's that? And Linkin Park was just like, when Jay-Z, by the time that hit him, they were kind of jumping the shark.
Yeah.
But right before that fucking Crawling and Numb and all that shit.
Yeah.
I hated all that.
You hated that?
You hated all the rap metal?
Yo, I was listening to that.
No, I liked, as far as rap metal, I liked Rage, but that was kind of, they were outside of that.
Oh, yeah, they were.
And other than that, I didn't like, I don't think I liked any of it. I didn't like, first of all,
Like Limp Bizkit? You didn't like Nookie?
I had a passionate hatred for Limp
Bizkit. What about Break Stuff?
Not like
Break Stuff is one of the dumbest songs. See, I can't dumb out. It's one of the dumbest songs ever written.
Oh.
The hook is "Give me something to break."
Yeah.
I like Korn.
I liked Marilyn Manson and
right, and they weren't really raps.
Yeah. And then Nine Inch Nails.
The Dope Show's a good album.
Yeah, and they weren't
the
rap either.
Dope Show's a good album.
I mean,
that's
glam.
That's like glam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much glam rock.
So who's David Bowie? Cause he skirted. He's like that glam that Ziggy Stardust. Like
David Bowie is his own thing.
Yeah, man. David Bowie's his own thing. David Bowie can do any style of music. All right, David Bowie was on Soul Train. All right,
yes he was.
One of the handful of white guys that went on Soul Train.
I saw the Soul Train thing of why he ended up on there. Somebody else. Oh, Robert Palmer did it.
Palmer's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, he was like, Power Station.
So he was like, so boy was talking to him. He was like, "Well, should I want to do it?
Yeah, yeah, how come you got on
you
Soul
did
Train?
It, I want to do because they all watch Soul Train. Soul Train. Like, well, I want to do it. You do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was the original. Like, I want to stop doing what I was famous for, and I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna just co-opt the Philly soul sound.
So who's Twisted Sister?
Oh, damn.
Who's not going to take
a further extended version of Kiss?
Well, hold on.
Yeah, Twisted Sister is like a different beast because Twisted Sister was just like a 70s band with just like a, they were kind of like a poor man's Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
He's not great, though. He's fucking great.
That one really huge breakthrough album then went away because they didn't, once the whole pretty boy archetype emerged, they were like, well, we don't need these ugly guys in drag.
Right. Yeah. We got Nelson.
We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it.
And then after that, Twisted Sister was like, I'm gonna give me something to break.
I remember watching them turn Woodstock into one huge vandalism and
I really hate
groping unwilling women.
I hated Limp Bizkit.
Oh man,
they were all so terrible. So terrible.
You didn't like In Together Now with Method Man?
I was offended by that.
I saw Limp Bizkit a couple times because they were on like some package tours. They did the Family Values tour, which like so it was. Real check this show out. It was
Stained.
It was
Stained. Yeah.
Stained was good.
Limp Bizkit.
You didn't like Stained either?
Nah.
Limp Bizkit headlining with
you like Aaron Rodgers? You like
Run DMC?
Really?
And Filter opening.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run DMC tore the roof off the place, man. Yeah,
Damn.
Man. And then a year before, it was Korn, Limp Bizkit, Rammstein, and Ice Cube.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
Rammstein. Rammstein was dope.
Yeah, Rammstein.
That's
the best. German rock. That's the best money you will ever spend on a concert ticket is a Rammstein
show.
Rammstein and the Scorpions. Oh, and Rammstein Scorpions.
And Luft Balloons. What's
That's Nina.
Nina Person or whatever.
Rammstein.
No, that wasn't Person.
Duhosh.
I can't think of the name of the other group that was from Germany.
Duhosh.
I can't remember.
They didn't sing in Germany. They were just another group that was kind of
based.
Mike
Myers did that dude,
they did that song Empire. Who sang that song Empire?
Queensryche?
Queensryche.
They're from Seattle.
This is Rammstein.
They're from Seattle.
Oh, they were a German group.
Yeah, no.
Queensryche.
This is Rammstein. Most people
Rammstein's got a new live DVD coming out September 25th. I'm going to be first day.
That's a military base. Rammstein.
Yeah,
this is all their lyrics.
They have the best pyrotechnic show you will ever see anybody do. These guys shoot flamethrowers over the audience's head.
I was like, this shit is going to start a war.
Yeah, something about angry Germans.
It's a march. I remember watching it.
They're only angry.
NBA weekly.
I used to work at a music store. The people that make the most angriest music, when you talk to them off stage, they're the most calm,
down
to earth people. Yeah.
You hear this shit, though. Don't you expect,
this is Doc Martin. You're not going to the concert.
Doc Martin and Sieg Heils.
Everybody who hates niggas.
Here's the thing. When you go to a Rammstein show, all right, half the people in the audience are speaking Spanish. Latin people love these guys.
They love the hard rock, though.
Yeah.
It's a whole scene.
Yeah. Iron Maiden, too.
I think it was, I think I saw a quote from Chuck D where he said, just in his experience, that people who have like really, I guess, laid back lives, laid back personalities tend to go for more aggressive music. And people who have more, I guess, aggressive lives and personalities tend to kind of go for quieter music.
I'll tell you this. I feel safer at a Rammstein or a Slayer concert than doing a Kenny Chesney concert.
I like sitting on my sitting on my balcony smoking a black, listening to soft music. So whatever that says about me is
it means you got an anger problem.
I like it all.
You already know.
If you look through my iPod, it's got everything from like Janet Jackson to Slipknot. You know,
I'm on
it's
that just, smooth jazz.
Yeah, man, sit on my sweater and just sit
are
out
they
there.
Shooting outside? Turn up the Kenny G. Yeah.
Let's talk about this Andy's football team.
The Redskins?
Thank you for the ratchet music, Rod. It sparked the whole conversation.
Did it about ratchet music of all genres.
What about the Redskins?
Well, your team is a fucking firestorm of shit.
No, we have a long history, a great tradition. We're not that far away from being a great team.
Firestorm of shit.
What about the NFL systematic sabotaging of black quarterbacks? What about that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't see.
Redskins GM.
The only colors I see are burgundy and gold.
So a reporter found out
gold and green.
They don't want Michael Vick playing for the Steelers, and they got a serial rapist already on the team as a quarterback.
Oh, the NFL don't care.
Yeah,
the NFL fans don't want him there.
Yeah.
I'm literally mad. I have a teacher that is like one of my favorite teachers in the world, and she had a problem with Michael Vick coming. I was like, really, Miss Kennedy, you taught me that you taught me that they killed Kennedy. You taught me that. Now you're gonna be this person. You're now them.
I think a lot of people for
Redskins new team name.
Well, yeah.
A lot of people need to realize that when you're dealing with animal rights people, and you're like, "What? You think dogs are more important than people?" And the answer is yes. A lot of people, and I can completely relate to that.
Do hush.
People are generally horrible. And a lot of people shouldn't be on Earth. All right, so a lot of animal rights people are like, yes, I do like dogs better than people.
I do,
but people are like shocked to hear that. It's like, why are you shocked to hear? A lot of people.
It's true.
Most people hate most people.
It's true.
Right. It's just taking that to a slightly larger extreme. So yes, when people are like, it's like that gotcha thing. Like, oh, you care about dogs more than you care about. It's just people in the NFL who've raped, and it's like, yeah, I like dogs more than people.
yeah, me too.
You know, so it's that's
because we think of the cuddly dog that you're saving.
That's
every
where
movie.
That comes from.
We don't think of
not that not that rapists should be given a pass or anything, but a lot of people like can't quite swallow that part of the whole thing, and they think it's like a hypocritical thing. It's like, no, it's not hypocritical. I actually do prefer dogs.
I did a Michael Vick joke on stage one time, and it wasn't even like glorifying what he did. It was just a reference to Michael Vick. And after the show, someone comes up to me and she gets right in my ear and she's like, animal cruelty is never funny.
Oh, well,
I was like, what the? I wasn't even saying anything about animal cruelty. I was just doing a joke about how the NFL handles.
You sparked the feeling in her.
I disagree. Tom and Jerry's awesome.
Yeah.
I disagree.
You sparked something in her when you said that this girl, Diana, what is her name?
Diana Rossini.
She's a reporter.
She used to be on Channel 4 local.
Was she?
Just until recently, she went to ESPN.
Oh, she's the one who took over for George? Was she took over for George Michael?
No, George Michael left and Lindsay Zarniak took over.
Zarniak took on this.
Lindsay Zarniak left.
Yeah. She was also married to the brother on CNN.
Yeah.
Zarniak?
Who was on Channel 4 with her.
Who was on Channel 4. They were on Channel 4 together.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now they're married. They got a baby, Melvin.
Craig Melvin.
Wow.
So they were together on Channel 4. She left. And then this new girl, now it's like, oh, we've got to bring another girl. Diana Rossini comes in.
The dark-haired chick.
Yeah, she was there for maybe a year and a half or so. She just left ESPN.
Okay.
But she was a local Channel 4 reporter.
So she got a scoop, which makes perfect sense now that you say that. How she get the scoop is because she's from here.
Right.
So she already has built-in relationships with these people. So she got a scoop on what was going on with the fucking shitstorm of RG3.
A great tradition.
And this the the guy, the GM's wife.
New GM. Yeah.
The new GM's
now,
wife.
Now, there's two things going on. New GM, and it's also his new wife.
Yeah.
So she's...
Wow.
Scott McLuhan has a great track record as a GM. The reason he was out of a job because he also has a great track record as an alcoholic. So he kind
of his choice of this.
His life was kind of fucked up, and so he had gotten himself cleaned up and together. And the Redskins were like, "All right, well, we're gonna get you then. We're gonna hire you for our team." So he comes over to the Redskins because they're like, "We're gonna get a GM. We're sick of all this drama."
This guy's gonna handle everything.
But they've never had a GM under Dan Snyder, so they were like, "Everyone's like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing. You need a real GM." So they finally get this guy. Like, okay, no more drama. We got a real GM in place. Scott McLuhan. He's got a track record, and he comes here with his new wife. Okay, so.
And what does his wife say? She tweets at the girl, "Please tell us how many BJs you had to give to get this story, and did they laugh at you before or after?"
At Rossini. Like,
just tweet that at her.
Wow. Like,
and no one's going to fucking. Your husband is the GM.
Hey,
remember,
bitch.
No more drama.
Your husband is the GM.
Let me tell you something, bitch. Stay away from Scotty, okay? He's my man.
How'd the NFL become like, you know, a high school cafeteria, you know, like bitch fight?
Well, you know, it's the type of woman that an alcoholic marries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Mm.
And then she had a follow-up tweet.
Yeah. What was her follow-up tweet?
Her follow-up tweet was.
Because she put up, the girl Diana put up, "I absolutely think if the Redskins have a losing record by the bye week, changes will be made. My opinion, not reporting." Which, by the way, is the opinion of a lot of people because they've kept RG3 on the roster as our number two quarterback. So I'm convinced now if he might be the starting quarterback by week six. It wouldn't surprise me.
He's going to get hurt again.
It's not going to end. Just release him.
It's never going to
release him and let him go someplace else. Anyway, she came at her. I'm pretty sure this info is coming from my husband to his new side chick, Diana. It's confirmed. Did you just say
that
your husband?
I'm sorry.
That she's your husband's side chick.
Yes, it is. Yes, she did. That's what I saw when I read it. I was like, so you?
I'm sick and tired of white chicks.
Your husband getting blowed, y'all.
Your husband? Did you?
She said this on Twitter.
Yeah.
She didn't say this like in an email.
Yeah. Very personally too. Just put it out there.
Hey, bitch! Stop fucking my husband. All right. And so it took a couple days for like the sports blogs to kind of catch it.
You go, did she say that?
Yeah. And a couple days later, like, well, okay, so this Twitter handle called Mrs. McLuhan.
Yeah.
And it's definitely her because there's a tweet from a few months ago where Scott McLuhan's son tweets at her. So it's like, okay, so it's not like a fake account.
Right. It's her.
And then the sports
Why are you
blogs.
Why your mom?
Stepmom.
Yeah. So the sports blogs come in and they ask.
well, stepmom.
I think it was Black Sports Online that was the first site to post this, and then Deadspin got involved. So they were going at Tony Wiley, the Redskins' like horrible PR guy. And at first he was like, "Oh, it's a fake account," and they're like, "Really?
Because
his son is tweeting at it."
Yeah.
You know, like, well, he's saying it's a fake mom too, and then finally she releases a statement the next morning. "I deeply apologize for the disparaging remarks about an ESPN reporter on my personal Twitter account. The comment was unfounded and inappropriate, and I have the utmost respect..." He's holding a gun to her while she's doing this. "The utmost respect for both the reporter and the ESPN. I regret that my actions have brought undeserved negative attention to the Redskins organization..." That they have plenty of deserved negative attention.
Yeah, it ain't just you.
"And its leadership. My comments in no way reflect the opinions or attitude of the organization, and I regret that my behavior has in any way negatively impacted the team and its loyal fan base." Jessica McLuhan. She believes that shit.
Yeah,
she does.
What do you respect more, the bullshit apology or them doubling down on their own ignorance? Be like, "Yeah, I said it."
Well, see, that's the weird thing.
That's what she should have said.
That's the Donald Trump way to
she
do
it. She should have came and said, "Yeah, I said that shit, dick-sucking ass bitch."
Morky-ass bitch.
Well, how'd you get on motherfucking ears?
Morky-ass bluster?
Sucking hella dick.
Sucking hella dick.
Dick again, bitch.
Sucking hella dick.
That's why you ever have like a black...
Because we know that's what Chris Berman loves.
It's going to be like the Empire.
Yeah, it'd be like Empire. Yeah. Cookie. It was wife.
Cookie is a sports team owner. Oh, man. Love to see that.
That's the weird thing, though. The Redskins brought this guy in to be a stabilizer.
To clean, right, yeah. To clean, stabilizing to, force.
Let's and, be regular. Yeah. Let's now become a team.
Yeah.
And now together. His wife is popping off. I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll come out. Maybe
but why
she'll,
is she in the first yeah, place? Why is she even tweeting about the...
What
it's
the
like
hell
my wife
is your trophy
talking
wife
about my job.
Doing, talking about like something she has absolutely no...
But that's like my wife talking about, okay, how many dicks did she have to suck to get on with Larry XL? Like, what?
Why are you on my
my motherfucking job.
But there's an assumption in that. And the assumption is that she's lying. What if he did get his dick sucked for information? What if it's true, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then you're like, well, maybe she could have done it a little bit more without the public involved.
Yeah.
But maybe she knows some shit. Like she might have her own scoop.
Jennifer Petraeus' you know wife ain't doing
whose dick
did
she suck to find out about this dick sucking?
Yeah, exactly. How far back do these dick suckings go? And should Dan Snyder have known about this before he hired Scott McLuhan? All this baggage. So, like, you can't come to the Redskins without having some fucking baggage.
How do you say that to
without having a man, family geez. Member? Like, RG3's father is at all the practices. Like, you just.
Yeah.
There was a video on fucking TMZ like 3 weeks ago. I don't know when the video was shot. The video is RG3. And Dan Snyder bowling.
At some I saw that.
And Dan yeah. Snyder's like dancing because they're playing
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're playing, but they're playing one of his songs or yeah. something. And it's like, this is the, he's just like hanging out with his quarterback, going bowling with him and shit.
I'm having fun with my dude.
The whole thing, none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
None of it makes any God. Sense. So it makes perfect sense that this dude's wife is just going to start popping shit off on Twitter because that's the Redskins. That's the team that I like. That's my team.
They're my dogs.
My team,
I would just love to have like a Twitter blackout for like a year just so people can like just reflect before they start opening their mouths.
What do we get to talk about?
I know. True.
Listen, we need to talk about what's really important and what's really going on here and what's really important in life. And what's really important in life for all of us is that the Booty Warrior is about to be released from prison.
Booty Warrior, Chris Hansen.
That's what's important. That's what's important. For everybody who doesn't know, Fleece Johnson.
Yes.
A.K.A. the Booty Warrior. A.K.A. Booty Warrior, Warrior-nificent, maybe.
Hanging out with Thug Nificent.
You've all heard us talk about
it's
him.
From Lock Up Raw on MSNBC. When
go ahead and run it.
Show.
Run it.
A long time. Inmate who practices a very different kind of homosexuality.
Well, we have sexual desires, right? So you got a bunch of men locked up in one place. All of them get whore.
First of all.
All of them getting whore.
First of all, the dead giveaway immediately.
The S.O. men's.
Men's.
Yeah.
Lots of men's.
All of them's horny. All of them got sexual desires. So what are they going to do? Won't let them have a woman. They going to have each of somebody's going to have to give us some booty. And it's just as simple.
The most
why does he sound like Al Green?
I bet he's got a great singing voice.
About the place and importance that booty has in a maximum security penitentiary. And he went on about it and on about it.
In his prison, booty. Booty was more important than food. Booty. A man's butt. Mm.
Yeah, we know. No need to clarify there, Fleece.
I'm sorry. It was more booty, having some booty. Important than drinking water.
I love the fact that they brought
man.
In a professional musician to score this. Like he's got to watch this and like, well, what chord works well over the booty part? You know, how should I play?
Like
this?
who's the old guy with the Raven and Shawshank Redemption?
Oh,
Brooks.
Brooks.
Yeah, that guy is gonna go out like Brooks did. He's gonna get out of prison, realize he can't make it. Just gonna hang himself.
There's too much booty. I can't.
Johnson went on to tell our crew
like
how he used to satisfy his sexual
here
desires.
Here it comes.
Especially during the 1970s and 80s, when he was most active, and prison security was.
Even the 70s, even prison had like the free love era.
Or lax.
When I see one. And he looks good to me.
Here comes.
When I go see him, I say, you, come here.
Come here. Hey, you, come here.
I say, I'm telling you what. I like you, and I want you.
Oh.
And we can do it the easy way or the hard way.
They're both hard.
So the choice is yours, right?
There's no easy way, Fleece.
Yeah, that doesn't work in the clubs anymore.
Johnson also had a warning for the new generation of inmates. They might be asking for trouble from old-timers.
You know, they got this thing where they sag their pants past their butt. It's a style. They call it some sort of gangster style. You know, it's sexy to us, right? And see what it is, right? So you sag your pants in her, man, somebody be up in your butt, you know? And it's just that simple.
Johnson even let the lockup crew know that when he was in his prime, they wouldn't be safe from his advances either.
just
if
to let you know.
I've been in her back then in them days, and as much as I like booty, I probably felt one of y'all butts as y'all was walking past me. And
cue the drums.
I'm not no shame in my game.
Look at each other.
This is nothing that I'm ashamed to admit. I am what I am. I'm a warrior too, you know, so let that be known. I'm a warrior.
It's a warrior.
No. There's...
Let me see.
How you gonna be a warrior when you still are pluralizing men?
I'm gonna kick your ass, then I'm gonna take it.
He's telling you. Yeah, basically that's what he's telling you. So this
would be
has
the
been
hard
immortalized.
Way.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
This has been immortalized.
So he's getting out of prison?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this has been immortalized into
like parole or just straight just walking out.
Episode of the Boondocks.
That was, I don't know.
Look here, Chris Hansen. He's just gonna give up the boot.
There's some juice on the table.
Mm-hmm. Take your time.
You want to explain to me what you're doing here?
I came looking for booty.
You came looking for sex with an underage boy?
Oh, no. I ain't come looking for no little boys. I ain't got no milk, no cookies, nothing. I came looking for man's butt.
A man's butt? Excuse me?
Oh, I know who you are, Chris Hansen. See, I calls you Chris Hansen. I watch your TV show all the time. So you can go ahead and bring in them cameras and the police is waiting outside.
That's from the Boondocks.
It don't make me no difference.
Right?
It don't make me no different.
Now, I tell you what. I like you, and I want you. Now, we can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. The choice is yours.
Watch his face. Watch
well,
his
I don't
face.
Think you and I will be doing anything any kind
watch
of way.
Okay, I see you choosing the hard way.
Okay, cut. This isn't working. Someone get this guy out.
Hey, Chris,
no, Chris, I'm a, no, please. I'm a warrior.
Oh, sorry. The Boondocks is the greatest TV show to ever get on television.
Don't make me ruin
oh, sorry.
I'm gonna tell you.
I don't know why Magruder walked away from that show.
Tell you this,
they split.
The Boondocks, they fired him, I think. And Black Jesus.
Yeah. I haven't watched
Black Jesus.
You haven't watched Black Jesus.
I've watched a couple episodes.
Black. You gotta believe in something.
Yeah.
my
favorite was when he went in on Tyler Perry. In the pause episode?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
But it was the Rocky Horror Picture
dying.
Show.
Fleece
Johnson. I work with John Witherspoon.
Fleece Johnson went to jail in 79, by the way.
79. Yeah.
And he's been doing this since 79, and he's about to get out.
Yeah. 2015.
So this is like 30 years?
Well, 35, 36.
That means you got to get back into the clothes he went in wearing.
99, 09.
So think about that. Wherever this is, I think it's.
I see you.
Where he
I like
from.
You.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. So think about that, men of Kentucky.
Man. He's going to get out. He's going to discover like iPhones and Grindr and like Tinder and all that
when
shit.
When he gets out, does he go on a sex registry?
No, he's not in his prime. I don't know if he goes. I mean, I don't know if he's.
Don't matter. Viagra's out there now.
Yeah.
Well, if his crime wasn't a sex crime, then no, he doesn't go on a sex registry.
He's committed sex crimes.
Yeah.
Second of all,
I like shit.
And I won't.
How do you tell
him? I think he's going to go back in, no pun intended. But. Because who's going to hire the booty warrior?
Well, what if the tall salad man has a business?
I don't know. That's a company to work for. I don't care how hungry I am. If I go into Popeye's chicken and that motherfucker's behind the counter, I'm leaving.
Hey, man, ain't you Fleece Johnson?
Ain't you the tall salad? Oh, Lord. This is awesome. This is a match made in heaven. I'm a warrior.
He's our feeling butts immediately.
I was a warrior. That means he's the kind of dude that you walk past, he's going to take it. And ain't nobody better say shit to
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You about to get raped.
you're on his radar. You're the booty warrior's radar. Yeah,
man, so men's in Kentucky, all you men's.
Because the people he don't like and don't fuck with,
y'all
they say.
Y'all about to get delivered.
Delivered. I'm delivered. Oh, Lord.
I knew nothing about the booty warrior until the day, and I wish I could erase
that.
Look
at his mugshot, though.
You can't run.
I like you.
Look at his mugshot.
Damn.
The mugshot says, I take ass on a regular basis. Yeah.
Looks like he's atrophied a little bit since he went in.
He says, oh, but let it be known.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Where are we at?
I was a warrior.
58 minutes.
Yeah. Let's bring this one home. With
that'd be when it's over.
Let's bring this one home with the Kim Davis story. Someone who could probably do with a visit from the booty warrior. I wouldn't wish that.
She's
on
a booty warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a booty warrior.
Yeah,
for those who know by now, Kim Davis she's probably still in jail as of Thursday when this is up. So it's not like we're talking about. She's the woman who's decided that just like Martin Luther King, she's standing on her beliefs and refuses to issue marriage license to gay couples.
You're not going to make me do it.
She's also been divorced 3 times.
Yes.
Yep.
But she didn't find God until after all that.
So all her sins are washed away.
No, it was just a timing thing. it's just, you know, she's, people are trying to say she's hypocritical because she's not living a religious life, but she wasn't Christian.
Yeah, so she wasn't born again. She'll say all her sins are washed
just
away.
After that.
Look, just because you're religious and born again does not give you the right to treat people.
Yes, it does.
Worse,
whatever,
like,
whatever you're gonna say.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's all extra credit. I used to do a bit about this. It's all like God can do everything, anything He wants. He can just make no. He creates gay people. If you think we're all God's creatures, right? So what people are doing is trying to get extra credit so that when they go to heaven, it's like when you graduate from high school and you apply to colleges, and they're like, "We like your GPA, but what are your extracurricular activities?"
But here's the thing:
I stopped gay people getting married.
Yeah,
it's all people like turning their Christianity up to like 11 and being assholes. Because like I guarantee you, I have never seen Buddhists be assholes to people on the level that I've seen Christians be assholes to people.
Well, there's an entitlement.
I have a reason for that.
Because, I said Buddhists.
And there's a persecution complex. Buddhists don't have a persecution complex.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Muslims do some, and some Christians do. A lot of Christians and Muslims
well,
do.
But if it was a big part of Christianity is...
You know, you're fighting for Islam, so to speak.
A big part of Christianity is saving the... saving people. And by saving them, it means you have to convert them to your way of living.
Spreading the word.
And then you add in the guilt of everything.
Whenever a Christian wants to talk about Savior, I'm like, well, time out. 144,000 are getting in, according to
that's,
the book.
Yeah. That's Jehovah's Witnesses. That's Jehovah's Witnesses.
According to the book. But now, if they read the same book, Revelations, how do they have the Bible and not read the book? If 144,000 are getting in, I'm hoping God grades on the curve, number one.
I know, but everybody's cherry-picking, you know. Okay, like, for instance, like a few years ago, there's this guy who was so against gays that he got the passage from Leviticus condemning gays tattooed on him.
Yeah.
And you know what else Leviticus is against? Tattoos.
Right.
And shrimp.
Yeah. Well, then they're in a situation where they're trying to rank sins.
Yes.
Right? So they're trying to decide which ones God felt were more important. So they're trying to speak for God, right? Because as far as a sin is a sin, it's not it's not like hot sauce, where it's like, this is number 4 on the scale.
I just wait for it to go, hey, lady, look, if you want to save my soul, give me a marriage license, because if you don't, I'm going to jump over this counter and kill you.
She'll gladly die. She'll martyr.
Yeah, she will.
She'll martyr in a second. She wants to. That's all she's got going for. She wants to be in jail.
Work-ass mortar.
But
she wants to be a martyr.
If I follow your train of thought, once I accept Christ into my heart, I'm forgiven and all is good. So, you die for naught.
Well, I saw her lawyer, Chris Hayes, was interviewing him, and he asked him, what about if an interracial couple goes and gets married and somebody says they can't? Because he keeps saying it's not a religious thing, it's her conscience. He's like, what if her conscience says that would never happen? I'm like, well, that's not, actually it does. Probably by her from Kentucky. But that's an actual thing that happens. No one ever answers that question when they try to pin him down. And then he was just spreading it all over the place. He was like, what about if a Jewish person wants to marry a Christian person? Does she get to then say, you can't do this? They want to narrow it down to just gay, but that's crap.
I refuse to entertain the idea that the whole scripture thing, because here's the thing. Anything that you want to use the Bible to justify, the gays are the front line. If you think the people are going to stop there, they go. Because once they get through screwing over the gays, either women or Mexicans or black people are next.
Women are definitely going.
Yeah.
Women are getting it now. Look at her clothes.
You get to next. That's how it started.
Look at her clothes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's damn near Muslim right there.
Yeah.
That's how it started. They used the Bible to enslave people. They used the Bible to justify enslavement.
Yeah, they justify slavery through the Bible.
They're no longer slaves, but they're not us.
Yeah.
So we got to keep him in this position.
So if you don't speak up for the gays now, they're coming after you next in some way, shape, or form.
Well, coming back for you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we can do it again.
Yeah.
We already did it.
Oh, they let us screw up the gays? Okay, we're
going
to do it.
I think there's something else going on here, too.
Yeah.
Because this is people like, well, they can't fire her because she was elected. She ran as a Democrat.
So she's an elected official.
But before that, Her mother held that job for 37 years.
Oh, my God.
This is the family business.
Her kid works there.
Her mother had the job for 37 years and got elected every whatever cycle it is. Because who else runs, you know? And then,
so
and then
the,
her daughter.
The popular people there.
That's what happens when you go in to vote and you're just like,
I know Davis.
Check.
Who the fuck that is?
Yeah, I go Democrat.
So these, and then the mother, Alderman Davis on Good Times. These are the
Alderman Davis. Yes,
these are the people that perennially in that.
Yeah, they just keep that. So the mother finally retires, and the daughter then runs.
You're not county clerk,
probably unopposed.
Right. Yeah, with the same last name.
Yeah,
kind of like Eddie Murphy, Distinguished Gentleman.
Yeah. And then
I did a bad Eddie Murphy joke reference.
The son works there. He's 21.
The son and daughter work there?
No, just the mother, Kim Davis's mother had the job.
Then
Kim
Davis' grandmother, now his mother.
Okay,
now his son works there. So when Kim Davis, so this is the family.
Family's been giving out marriage licenses since the Mayflower.
Right, exactly.
To who they want to.
Well, and I think they've always done it, quote, the right way until now. I think Kim Davis, first of all, doesn't want to, because she could quit.
Yeah, exactly.
She could always resign.
That's all you got to do.
She doesn't want to do that because she's set for life.
Yeah.
She's going to hold this job in her mind for 40 years and then give it to her son. And he's going to, and they're just going to have this life and they're going to pass it down the family business. So she quits. That eliminates that. She fucks up all the work her mother did to mm-hmm. entrench them in this fucking county clerk's office.
Right, right. Which is where all the paperwork is held.
Right.
So they know everything on everybody.
Right. So the whole thing is they just, she's fucking up. It's fucking up her money and her family's money if she loses this job. So she's like, well, no, one, I'll be a martyr because I'm a hardcore Christian. And two, I don't want to quit because all the work that we did to get us into this position where we sort of run this office.
Right.
Right. Be gone.
Right. Yeah.
Am I going to go work at Walmart now?
Right.
Like, you know, so my kid, my son works here. You know,
so these are your perennial West Virginia senators like Rockefellers
it's
and
legacy
shit. Yeah.
We know Davis. Hold on to their legacy.
We know your mother taught you how to do it the way it's been done.
The way it's supposed to be done. Yeah. By the way, you think about how far back this goes.
Yeah.
They oversaw segregated drinking fountains, segregated schools.
Yeah.
Her mother was right there on the forefront of no interracial marriages. Her mother was right there.
Yeah.
So she's just keeping
us keeping it going.
So I think her mother probably followed whatever, unless there's maybe something will come out about it, but her mother probably followed whatever the rules of the day were. So when
but
the
initially,
rules change,
you can buck until the president tells you.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
the
Kim
governor
Davis,
in this case.
The difference is with Kim Davis, she's not following the rules of the day.
Yeah.
She's decided that I'm going to die on this hill about gay marriage. But she'll grant divorce. She'll sign off on divorces, which are also in the Bible.
Yeah. Furthermore, do you come out of your house when you own your period? Because you're supposed to stay in your bedroom.
Stay by yourself.
Also,
stay away.
Also, you can't work out of the house anyway.
Also, do you have a leg to stand on when the Pope himself was like, hey, let him marry?
Yeah.
You know,
Christians different from Catholics.
Yeah,
Christians different from Catholics.
Yeah, that's what she'll say.
That's what's crazy to me.
They're going to hell too.
Yeah, they're crazier than we are.
They're going to hell too. That's what.
Aren't they the basis of what you did? Right. That's the root, right?
That's exactly what she'll say.
So if the root is faulty, the tree is fucked up.
Yeah, this fucking bitch. I mean, I don't.
But the roots are a great band.
And there's like the people in her office, besides her son, the people in her office were like, yeah, we're going to give up.
Yeah.
So, she's been punking them into not letting.
But she's in jail going, even though they're invalid, because I have to give the final signature.
You're in jail.
That's the question, though, because don't
you got a stamp?
But it should be an alternate, right? It should be an alternate county clerk that actually
gets
pushed
through. Yeah, because what if she's sick or something?
Or like on vacation or whatnot?
Yeah.
You have to. The county clerk actually does the work permits, the zoning permits. The clerk is the one who is in all of their names.
Right.
Like, I'm the one who makes sure all of this. The new Walmart, I'm making sure it goes over here.
The whole thing. I mean, regardless of gay or straight or anything, it should be some shit you do. You can pay your taxes online. Why do you have to go there? It's so antiquated.
Yeah.
Automate the whole thing.
That's
just
true.
Just
you can
do
redo
it.
Everything
online. Look, as somebody who's traveled,
So who else is she fucking denying it?
I'm just saying, there are still parts of this country where it's still 1953.
Yeah. Right? Well, you can deposit a check from your phone.
Not in certain towns.
There's an app.
Look at that new thing.
I've been to towns where I turn my phone on, and you know how you're like analog Rome, digital Rome. This is like, I can't even tell time now. I'm so far away from the cell tower.
How do you watch Netflix?
Yeah.
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 When they go to the theater, it also has a movie screen in it.
You get the reel to reel. Their Netflix is like a Viewmaster.
You don't.
That's that newfangled.
Yeah.
That's that new. This is the town that we're talking about where the actual North Koreans can drop in because they weren't paying attention.
No one knows. Yeah. But her whole job is irrelevant. Technology will take
it. It is. Like that, you
if
no
you
longer
can pay
need
your
a
taxes
clerk,
online, you can register for a marriage online.
Because it's just the person who checks it off and makes sure you have your paperwork in order.
Right.
It has nothing to do. That's what bothers me about her. She's only supposed to ensure that you have your paperwork in order. And if your paperwork is in order and now legitimized by the fucking federal government, which supersedes everything, who are you, Kim Davis?
It should be, you know what it should be? It should be something where you do it on a website.
Yeah.
And if there's a problem, you call this help desk.
Right.
And the help desk goes to India. And it's just some dude in India hold please. And he just fixes
it. If Kim Davis was Muslim, would people be flocking to her defense?
Of course
not. No. No. Hell no.
No.
They would say she's not upholding the Constitution of the United States. She hates America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It cracked me up too, the flockers.
The common enemy is the gay. So, I mean, people would find something redeeming about her if she was Muslim, but not if she had a turban on, or not a turban, but like any kind of head wrap on. Burqa or the hijab or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of it is that. It's just they see her as like the.
So she's
Christian
the modern
white lady.
She's the Jew. She's the Jesus of the.
Oh, they're persecuting her. No. She's the persecutor.
Right.
All right. She's just getting her comeuppance for her shitty activity.
Ain't that some shit?
That's not persecution.
She's the one persecuting people. And they go, let her go. Leave her alone.
That's the Christian persecution complex.
Yes.
It's like it's part of the religion to be persecuted. It's kind of written into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's like saying...
it literally is death on a stick.
That's like saying this...
like, church is not your job, bitch.
Right.
Like, stop bringing your church into your occupation.
But that's what I think is going on with her. She had, like, three marriages with, like, one guy she married twice, and she had a couple kids from a different dude while she was married to one of the dudes, and then she became Christian. I think she's doing that classic overcompensation thing.
I got some
like,
very...
I'm doing extra Christian because I got shit to make up for.
It's your extra credit point.
Yeah.
Like, I have to do this.
I have to go extra hard.
Right. I got some very high-minded friends that are, like, on this kick. They don't agree with her, but they're like, can we please stop slut-shaming her?
I saw those articles.
And I'm like, Kim Davis. Yeah, can we please disagree with her without slut shaming her? I'm like, look, it'd be one thing if she didn't bring this, like, you know, like if you're being self righteous and you've been doing all sorts of fucked up shit, you open up the door. Yeah.
Right, you open up
you
the door.
You open the door.
Like,
well, there's two things. One, they're saying slut shaming
because
they're going on about
shots
how she's
fired.
Had all these marriages and stuff, and that's people call that slut shaming. And two, people are commenting on her looks a lot, like, but she's ugly.
Yeah,
irrelevant.
You're gonna get that.
If you're a woman, you're gonna get that.
Yeah, you're
if you're a man,
that.
You might not.
Men,
that's the whole point.
If you're a man, and you look like a troll. People are gonna say, "Look at this ugly motherfucker."
Maybe. But the thing is, it stings more with women because if you've been married four times,
you want to tell somebody that they can't get married? What the fuck, bitch? Somebody should told your ass that.
Look, I'm saying, look, if you're an Amish too. And you have four husbands? Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
You found four guys with low standards, all right?
You were able to trick.
Four
dudes named Levi. Levi, Malachi, Obadiah, and Josiah.
Just because this gay couple is prettier than all four of your husbands put together.
That's what happens.
Stop player hating.
Because that's what you see when you watch what are those travel channels where they do all those homes and they rebuild homes in TLC? A lot of people are moving to these places like Kentucky and Tennessee where it's cheaper and more affordable.
Gentrification.
And now they're like, hey, well, wait a minute now. You're going to tell me I can't get married, but I can. And I'm really going to make your town more fabulous.
Yeah,
and they're
fuck you and
your New York City ideal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't that weird that no one is against gentrification when it's in a rural area like Kentucky? Like, where's the people protecting that lifestyle, right? I mean, isn't it the same shit? We're going to move into a cheap area and make it an expensive area.
No, they're making
here's
it better.
Here's the thing. If you're poor,
hey,
if you're
I'm
poor,
all for gentrification. I don't call it gentrification. I call it property value increase.
Yeah.
But I own my house. So
look, if you're poor
keep
in
on
Kentucky,
moving in.
If you're poor in Kentucky, there's always another place you can go and be poor. But if you're poor in Harlem, good luck.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good freaking luck trying to relocate somewhere else nearby.
And here you are. You're such a Christian. I got to watch fucking Wilford Brimley tell me that there are hungry children in Kentucky, rural Kentucky.
Yeah.
Go feed them.
I'll feed them as long as they're not gay.
No,
I don't like the fact that Christians make like Jesus coming back like sound like he's going to be coming back kicking ass. Like, it's
like a superhero.
Jesus coming back, are you ready? It's like, yeah, free fish sandwiches and wine. Let's do this
shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Party for
everybody. That's what Jesus was about back in the day. Jesus wasn't, you know, Jesus with the flamethrower.
He's on the grill.
What would Jesus do? Yeah. He'd build a table and have everybody sit at it.
Let's eat short through this bullshit.
That's the line to end on. Build the table and have everyone sit back. Listen, people, we're bringing this home. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Larry XL.
Yep.
Larry.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Go huge or go home.
Give me your album one more time.
Yeah, Go Huge or Go Home. Available on iTunes, CD Baby. And you can come to my CD release show if you're in the Baltimore area, September 11th, 8:30 at Sully's Comedy Cellar.
What is your Twitter feed?
Oh, at Larry XL.
All right.
LARYXL.
Easy.
And then on Facebook, Larry XL, and then LarryXL.com.
There you go. There you go. Heywood.
Yes.
Sock puppet number one. We're always happy to have Heywood with us.
Always happy to be here, man.
Always. You want to give me stuff? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, at Woody Seed on Twitter, Heywood Turnip Seed Jr. on Facebook, Reverb Nation, at Woody Seed on Instagram. Make sure you come join us at Solly's every first or third Tuesday. We're having a good time.
Solly's in D.C., 11th and
Solly's in D.C.
Andy be out there.
Yeah. First, next one is September 15th. And then after that, we have September 29th. And then in October, we're going and adding sketches to our show because we're going to start filming some sketches and do a little bit more. Right.
Little skits.
Yes.
All right, little skits.
Little skits.
Party. And we got something for y'all.
For
us? Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
As long as we get final.
I heard you say, I come up. I was like, you ain't got to go see J.L. Koval.
As long as we get final script. As long as we get final script approval.
No.
J.L. gives up final script approval.
Yeah. No, everybody has to be happy with the final product. That's how it works. I mean,
hey, what's with this Mork-ass script?
It's a group project.
Morkius script?
It's a group project. I like an outline format, and then you're gonna fill it in with your own stuff.
So you guys come on back on next Monday. We'll be here for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed yourselves. Hope you guys enjoyed being with us. Hope you guys review us on Stitcher and iTunes. Hope you send us your emails. Just hope you keep coming back, and I hope you tell a friend.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And that's
Heywood Turnip Seed Sock Puppet number one.
And this is
Larry XL.
Larry XL. And we have three guys on plus one. We are out.
The sisters are in to check the front line.